Matthew, how are you?
Very well. How are you?
Good. It's been a long time since I've talked to you. I don't think I've talked to you since you bailed us out on one of our birthday bashes we had at the Hard Rock, where Mark Slaughter got laryngitis, couldn't make it, and you guys got a late-minute call, and you came and bailed us out. I've always been thankful to you guys for that.
Oh, are you kidding? That was a great time. I mean, it was not good that Mark took ill and stuff like that, but it's nice to know that, you know, we can hang in there for our friends when they need us, right?
Absolutely, and it's nice to talk to you again, man. I've talked to you a number of times, and, of course, I like to think you come through here because you got a wife out of Iowa, don't you? Isn't she from Iowa?
I absolutely do, yes. She's in northeast Iowa, from a little town called Waukon, northeast corner up there.
Does she make the trips with you when you come out and do these things?
Most often, yeah. She's actually there more than I am usually. You know, we've got grandkids, and her kids live there still and stuff. And I love it. I actually do. I love Iowa an awful lot. You know, Harriet was from Des Moines, you know, my grandmother. So we're basically, we got a lot of Iowa in the family.
Talking with Matthew Nelson of the group Nelson, of the family Nelson, I want to say my wife is such a big fan of you guys, and it isn't because of the long hair days of Love and Affection and all that, but we went to one of your shows when you were honoring your father, Ricky Nelson, and it was one of those multi-screen things that we just had a blast, and I'm guessing that the Christmas show you got coming up at the Hard Rock on Saturday is kind of similar to something like that?
It's similar but different in the sense that it's a completely different show. It's not like we just threw in some Christmas songs with our normal set or whatever. We decided to do something that we don't normally do. As public as the family is, we tended to leave things like, you know, our kids or home movies or stories having to do with us growing up in the family and things like that. We kind of leave that out of there even when we do our dad's show. It's really more about him and historical facts and things like that. This is kind of the story of our family through three Nelson family Christmases, three different eras. And we do bring it up through video. And we actually have released now three Christmas albums in our career. So we just released something called the Nelson Family Christmas, where all three generations, Ozzy's generation with his big band, our dad and us, on the same album. Universal Music just released it, one of the big labels. And so it's kind of almost like we're celebrating an album launch as well with the tour that we're currently on. And it's a lot of fun to be able to visit with the family that way, you know, to go all the way back almost 100 years. We're fortunate we got everything documented, and it's really an awful lot of fun. I mean, if anybody saw the Ricky Nelson Remembered show, it's like that, but on, you know, on steroids. It's a really cool show, our favorite thing that we do.
We just talked with Kevin Cronin, lead singer for REO Speedwagon, on the program earlier this morning, and they just got done recording a Christmas album, and he said, you know, when it was all said and done, he said it was one of the most rewarding things he's ever done, being involved with REO Speedwagon. Do you feel the same way about your Christmas album?
First of all, Kevin's a great guy. He really is, and what a talent. You know, he's a hero of mine. But, yeah, Gunnar and I absolutely feel that way, because this wasn't like a something that we did kind of as an afterthought. The one thing that we felt was missing in our father's career, he sold half a billion singles in his career and stuff, but never released a Christmas album. He released two Christmas singles. And Gunnar and I were thinking, man, we don't want to be one day out of here, you know, gone, not have something that our kids can remember us, you know, during the holidays and stuff like that. And so that's kind of where it started. It was actually the middle of summer. And Gunnar and I thought, what we're going to do is focus on what makes us a little bit unique, which is really our singing together, our harmonies, like kind of like an Everly Brothers harmony kind of thing, and reinterpret some classics, but we also wanted to write our own stuff. And as a songwriter, we've been fortunate to write our own hits and stuff, and Kevin's a great writer too, but we really wanted to take a shot at having a hit single. And if you think about it, there's a very, very tiny, I mean, the air is really thin there. You're going up against people like, you know, Elvis's Blue Christmas or Mariah Carey or Bing Crosby. I mean, these songs we all hear every year. And that was one of the biggest challenges as a songwriter. It was to write a hit song that nobody had heard before that was a Christmas song. And we wrote something called This Christmas, and it actually broke the Billboard holiday chart. It went in the top five, the only independent to do it 2 years in a row. we actually had the idea of reintroducing it on the second year as a double duet with Carney and Wendy Wilson from Wilson Phillips, so buddies of ours and stuff, kind of like a Mamas and the Papas thing we did. And that really was the most rewarding thing, I think, honestly, as songwriters, just because of the fact that it's really, really almost impossible as a songwriter to break through a very glutted chart, you know, where there's really no room for anything new. And if it does happen, it's super rare. So, yeah, it was really great. What started out as a one album became a double album. You know, we released the second part, which was all the instrumentals. And I'm really happy that we get to kind of visit with those songs and that music every year now.
You talked about songwriting and how things have changed in the music business. I remember when you guys came out on Geffen Records, I believe it was back then in the 90s. And you have a studio now, as I understand it. You still do a lot of writing, obviously, but how does a young performer get themselves into the music business and have a chance to be successful at it?
I think it's just, if you look back historically, I think it's one good thing about coming from a family that's had success in multiple eras of the entertainment business. I mean, I got to learn things I never knew. For instance, when our grandfather, Ozzy, had his big band and was successful in the 30s, you know, he had to find success in the middle of the Depression, which was really interesting, and he did it. He found it. I did not know that back then it was illegal to actually play a record of recorded music, of band music, on the radio. The unions had it to where you had to actually have your band, like an orchestra, play live in the studio because the unions had such a stranglehold on the industry back then. And people playing records in place of live music on the air, that was a novelty thing, which, of course, went from 78, you know, RPM albums to the singles world, where our dad was a huge success. People really didn't sell a whole lot of albums and things like that. They went to long play albums in the 60s and 70s. And then Gunn came along and released when they were kind of coming out of the album phase, going into cassette and CD. It's just changed all the time. You kind of have to figure out what's happening in your specific era. Now it's all about, obviously, computers and streaming and all that stuff. Has been that way for a couple decades now. And to anybody that was starting out, the best advice I ever got, and I totally believe this, is it's all the power of a hit song. If you're a great musician, that's fantastic. You got to be good, okay? You really do. Be undeniably good. But it really does come down, if you think about it, to the power of a hit song, of a great song. If you don't have it, you need it. And I suggest that people really spend it. You can play covers, do all that kind of stuff, but if you're going to break through, it is to learn how to write and co-write with people and all that, and you'll know it when you got the goods. All you really need, and that's what kept us going, was one. You need one song. And when you write that one great song, then write another one that's better than that and keep pushing yourself. So for anybody that was getting into the business, do it because you absolutely love it. Don't take no for an answer. Don't quit. But really work on what makes you unique and that hit song.
You're coming back to the Hard Rock. Last time you were here, you played outside in our big birthday bash. This time you're going inside to Battery Park. Acoustically, you're going to dig this place. It's a great place to see a show. You know, you dropped your new Christmas album earlier this month, and now we're going to get to listen to a bit of it with Christmas with the Nelsons. Man, I'm looking forward to having you back again. It's always a fun Nelson show, and you and your brother travel safe, and we look forward to seeing you Saturday night.
Really looking forward to it. We have a couple more gigs to do. We're playing Kentucky. We're doing one last show tonight in Milwaukee, and it's on. It's Christmas time, so we will see you very soon. It's going to be good going back home, my second home of Iowa. Everybody's always so cool to us, and we hope we see you at the Hard Rock.
You'll see us. Thank you. I got my tickets already, so I'll be there up close and personal, man. I'll talk to you then.
All right. Take care.
See you, buddy.